So what happened to Lori Drew?
She was acquitted on the felony count and found guilty on 3 misdemeanors.
She was acquitted on the felony count and found guilty on 3 misdemeanors. And do you know what the difference was?
Yeah, I think it was... The felony count was conspiracy to intentionally inflict emotional distress, and that since they determined that she didn't do that, it was a misdemeanor. It was just unauthorized access.
So, what do you think? Maybe some of you may have seen that I blogged about this a little bit, but...
What they found had nothing to do with the bullying or the...
There was nothing... Yeah, this was widely described as a cyberbullying case.
Right.
But the... There was nothing about... There was nothing about bullying, except for this other count that she was... That she was not convicted on. About, you know, that was the thing I didn't understand, is where the emotional... Where the language about emotional distress on the felony count came from. But anyway, as far as I can see, the 3 counts on which she was convicted had nothing to do with inflicting emotional distress or anything. They just had to do with unauthorized access to the...
It was all about terms of use, the agreement from...
It was all about because MySpace defined appropriate use of their service to include their statement that the information that you supply when registering is truthful, and therefore the federal prosecutor deemed that her access was unauthorized, not because she'd done password cracking or something like that, but simply because she'd violated the terms that MySpace itself had established about what was, you know, what you were supposed to do.
I would just add to that I don't think it was clear one way or the other whether or not violating terms of service is illegal in and of itself. As far as I know, I'm not an expert on this, but this was the first attempt anyone tried to make to say that it was illegal, as far as I know.
I'm going to make a overbroad generalization based on no data, okay, but just my general impression. Okay, so this is not, you know, these companies that make you sign up do absolutely nothing. You know, they know that, you know, 75% of the people who sign up for their sites are not 99 years old, right? But you know, there's an exceptionally large number of 99-year-olds who sign up for web services. Google certainly knows and probably even advocates that 17-year-olds sign up for Gmail accounts, right? Which is clearly contrary to Google's terms of service, which says you can't agree. If you're not of legal age to click I agree, then, you know, you're not allowed to do it. And you have to click the I agree button to use, you know. They certainly know that people use the Google search engine, which it's in itself is from the thing we gave last time, is a violation of Google's terms, and to which you've apparently, in their legal reasoning, explicitly agreed by using the search engine. So what does it mean to have, you know, a 42 screen, you know, terms of service that the websites themselves completely ignore, except when they, the rare occasions where they have some reason to invoke it, and then to have the federal government and come in and say it's criminal because, you know, you didn't do it. Anyway, all right, enough on this. I probably, you know, sound like some apologist for this hideous woman, but it's just one of these things where I don't know. Did anybody read my post on this? This is a wonderful quotation from Tom Paine, which I found in a book by, Tom Paine, you know, who was the author of The Rights of Man and a number of other influential polemics during the Revolutionary War. So in addition to being involved in the American Revolutionary War, he was also actually involved in the French Revolution. And he actually tried to sort of get himself involved in starting a revolution in England, too. He was kind of a serial revolutionary. But the American Revolution was first. So, but when he got to France and the rabble were had seized Louis XVI, you know, and they ultimately beheaded him, and that set off this all of this carnage in the 1790s and, you know, in France, he actually argued against this summary execution of Louis XVI, and he said, an avidity to punish, eagerness to punish, is always dangerous to liberty, because it can accustom a nation to stretch, to misinterpret, and to misapply even the best of laws. He that would make his own liberty secure must guard even his own enemy from repression, for if he violates this duty, he establishes a precedent that will reach to himself. Right? You go chop off people's heads without trial, you know, that sets a good precedent for coming back and chopping off your own, which is, of course, exactly what happened to many of the, you know, of the leading French revolutionaries who, you know, who did this. So this is what I worry about in this case. But it's typical of where we are in the strange world of emerging internet law.